Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. I can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I've got an excellent guest today, especially for those of you who are working from home or those of you who have companies where your employees are working from home. And today we're going to talk about what you need to think about with your technology with those people working from home. So we're going to be talking with Michael Pasikovich with EverActive Solutions about what you need to think about when it comes to technology with your workforce being deployed all over the place. So Michael, man, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Dude, I'm awesome. So anyways, let's get our audience to know you first. I'd like to give people a little bit of backstory since this is your first time on. So how did you go from being a caddy and carrying golf clubs for people, you know, and making sure that they hit the ball into the little hole, into helping companies get their data into people's homes and maybe in their own offices? How'd that work?
Well, I was conveniently a caddy because I went to a middle school in Highland Park and the country club was across the street. But from that was probably my first job, and then now leading to where I'm at today. My father started an IT company 2 months before I was born. And then, so he's been doing this for about 32 years. And about 25 years ago, we opened up an office in Northbrook. You know, at age of 10, I built my first computer with him. So I've always been kind of around it. And, I got in the industry. I've been in sales for a long time doing other stuff besides tech. And then got into tech about 5 years ago, working for different companies. And then recently came to work for the family company.
Cool. So with this technology, I mean, this is something that a lot of people don't think about. And one of the things I know that happens is, you know, the networks in a neighborhood are not set up for, you know, families to be home working at the same time, their kids doing e-learning. But even more important than that, you know, families don't necessarily have, you know, like isolated computing. So if you're an employer, you have people working from home, what could possibly go wrong with that, right?
Probably everything. So
yeah. So, tell us a little bit about, you know, maybe some of the stories that you've heard or things that have happened.
I mean, you know, I can't go into great detail of what happens day to day with our clients, but I just, so you know, from the time we've been stuck in the house with coronavirus till right now, phishing attacks have gone up around 600% for email phishing attacks. Mm-hmm. Because people that do that know we're all stuck in the house clicking online. And then first and foremost, just to begin all of this, to understand from like a high level, all of our clients that we set up, unless they have specific needs to be wireless, are all hardwired. So having probably everyone in their homes have wireless setups. That being said, that is probably the most lax setup that you could have that could have the most possibility for vulnerabilities. So, you know, just, you know, someone could be driving down the street, parking on your block and connecting into your house. So that's first and foremost, right? So trying to be hardwired versus wireless is the way to go. And then if you have to go wireless, you try to drop a wireless access point in your house at somewhere. That's not just a router. It's something that protects that wireless connection. So that's like a baseline. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And obviously, you do not want your wireless password to be password 123. And one of my favorite techniques is to make sure that I name my wireless network FBI security vehicle in case somebody comes into the neighborhood and decides to try to jump.
I've never heard that, but that's an ingenious plan right there. But yeah, absolutely. We recommend, you know, we talk about this all the time to people. It's probably your password for your wireless is the same for a lot of other things in your life. So, mm-hmm. you know, most people use the same password for everything. So it's important to have a strong password, use a password generator, you know, have that somewhere, and change that frequently every 30 days if possible. Because you're only as strong as, you know, how the locks on your stuff, if that makes sense.
No, it totally does. And I think one of the other things that people got to think about, so there's three possibilities. I mean, okay, so you, and this has happened with my customers. I mean, they had everybody working in an office. They had hardwired computers. They had a network. You know, now all of a sudden they have to move everybody out of the office. And, you know, so they either physically pick up and move the computer to somebody's house, or they buy them laptops and set those up, or everybody's working on their home computer. So what could possibly go wrong with working from a home computer, which is probably the most prevalent way this is happening, right?
Yeah. So with that, I mean, it's probably a million things. I would, the best way to understand it is compare it to a science project. You know, when in high school you're doing science and you're doing an experiment, and it's always about controlling all the factors of the experiment so that you can get the result you're expecting, right? So if you can't control everything, you can't control on what your result's going to be. That's kind of what we're here, what a network is as well. So everybody's working from home. Whether obviously the way to go is company-issued devices that are managed, and there is a policy of how that is to be used that every employee is signed and adheres to. That being said, that's an expensive propaganda for a lot of businesses. It's depending on how many employees you have, and to send everyone home with laptops might not be in the budget for certain individuals or certain businesses. So that being said, you would want them to have a BYOD, bring your own device, policy. And the reason why this is important is a plethora of things. Sorry for my mumbling there. A plethora of things. You know, one is when you were working in your office, you have where you guys had the network controlled. The internet connection was controlled. You were there solely for work purposes. Now you guys are home. I'm sure you guys are when whoever's working is not the only person on the internet at that time. You have kids doing e-learning. You have other spouses working. You have, you know, a lot of things going on that the internet's being used for. So first and foremost, trying to get a segregated internet connection for your business. So that might be dropping a second internet line and having one for business and one for your family to do whatever they do. You know, kids doing e-learning and everybody being stuck in the house and now being a digital world and social media and everything that is online, that's pretty much how we interact and live our lives. So because everyone's on the internet, it's important that if you're going to be working and your employees are going to be accessing company information via their computers, that you kind of can have some sort of control with how they're accessing that information. You don't want their kids to be going onto your work computers and doing their e-learning on there, because that's not controlled. And then you don't know what could happen if someone's if something, a malware or a phishing attack happens, or a keystroke virus, and now your business's OneDrive is compromised. So business owners are liable for their data and liable for their employees and how they interact with that data. It all comes back to the business owner. The employee's not going to get in trouble. The business owner is going to get in trouble, right? So it comes back to also, people say, well, you know, it's their private property, and I'm not sure how to tell them what to do with their private property. That's why you have to have them sign a BYOD device, and it has to have antivirus and some kind of RMM, remote monitoring management, installed on those laptops, so that someone like a company like ourselves, or maybe it's the business's IT provider internally, can remote in and make sure problems are being solved. Because they're not the IT people, they can't fix it themselves, right? So especially if they're in compliance-ridden industries or regulated industries, like anything with HIPAA, finance, PCI compliance, and soon GDPR is going to be in every state in the United States. So soon it's going to be everywhere, and everyone's going to be liable for the information that they store, or touch, or You know, even if they're not, you know, it there's levels to it. If they're storing information in databases for the company, now that's even more risky because now they have this data somewhere that they're responsible for. Now, if they're working through a web-based browser and using like some CRM that's in a cloud, yeah, that works too, and they don't control that. But it still matters the physical or the security of that machine that's connected to that at that point. Does that make sense too?
It totally makes sense. So let me ask you a couple of questions along this line. So on a PC, you could set up different users. If, you know, like on my Mac, I can have Brian and I can set up a separate one for Apple to come in and do tech support. I'm assuming that people can do the same thing on the PC where they could set up a user that is just specific to the company stuff. But does that produce a false sense of security that if one of those other users gets infected, that it can hop over into that user?
Yeah. So let's say there's five healthy people four healthy people and one not healthy person, right? And at that one not healthy person, and he's contagious for sure, and he uses a spoon, and now all those other people use the same spoon at some point, and it hasn't been cleaned. They're all going to get sick.
Yeah, so the bottom line is just creating a user on there doesn't solve the problem.
No.
The PC itself has to kind of be isolated unto itself.
Absolutely.
What about setting up a VPN? I've heard about these on the radio. You know, you can set up a software VPN.
VPN as well is a false sense of security. Yes, the connection is safe, you know, from getting into where you're going, but that doesn't mean if the workstation that is connected through the VPN to wherever the endpoint has some kind of malicious stuff on it. That malicious stuff can get through that VPN connection and to whatever it's accessing on the other end. Once that VPN connection is like created and accessed and now they're in, now an infected computer is now connected to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a VPN is just another false sense. It's only as safe as the machine's health.
Okay, makes sense. So I guess the question becomes, okay, you said number one, the best thing to do is, you know, get a physical brand new device that is sitting inside the house and get a separate internet connection specifically to that device and make sure that everything is stored on the cloud and checked. But let's say somebody can't do all that stuff, then what can an IT company or an IT person do on a regular basis, or what should they be doing on a regular basis to make sure that the data transfer between the home and the business is safe?
You know, it's really what the business owner needs to do, right? Because the employee is not going to be the one that's going to get in trouble. So if the business owner can afford devices for all its employees and has to resort to them using their own device, then they have to create some kind of BYOD policy that everyone's that everyone's adhering to, and that it's being checked and maintained and audited and complied with on a regular basis. It's a living, breathing thing and like a document that's more than just a piece of paper. It's policies and procedures that need to be, that are like the blueprint for your business. And honestly, with everything happening with Corona, you know, they are saying, you know, what's going to happen with commercial real estate spaces and office spaces, and who knows what's going to happen. Maybe people are going to be less spaces and more people working from home, and there's going to be a shift in on and off of like some days in the office and some days remote. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that being said, now businesses can try to find the funds, because I think the number one or number two, what is the business expenses is rent, right? Or like a lease or like owning the building. So mortgage or whatever it is, you can reinvest that money into your technology and your infrastructure so you can actually scale and grow your business with employees better and quicker than having, because now you don't have to have a physical footprint as much.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, which totally makes sense. So, you know, obviously a lot of people working from home have a BYOB policy, which is usually about 4 o'clock, but what's contained in a company's BYOD policy? What are the core things that the owners need to think about?
So, you know, BYOD for people, so they understand what it is bring your own device policy. So it's a set of policies and procedures. You know, honestly, depending on the industry, it could be very complex to something very basic. You know, that goes back to if that industry has compliance, like healthcare or finance. But this BYOD policy is pretty much a set of policies and procedures that employees sign and have to follow in regards to how they access company information, how they interact with data, and how they're working throughout the day so that the vulnerabilities are as minimized as best as possible. And these policies should contain a remote monitoring management software that has an antivirus that a third-party vendor like myself, like an IT provider, or your internal IT for that company has access to and is monitoring regularly to make sure that these devices that are connecting to the business are safe when they do.
So what happens if somebody is not complying with that? What do you do?
If they're not complying with that, it's, you know, it's only a matter of time before a virus happens with your computer. And then what do you, with your business? And then what do you do if you get ransomware? What if you do if you have a phishing attack? I mean, at that point, I think it's catastrophic. You know, cost of downtime could be thousands and thousands of dollars depending on your business. So, I'm not really sure what you should do with that person. And obviously, you know, this is the business owner needs to understand that they are liable for all of this, and it's not going to be the employee's fault.
Right.
You know, you can yell at them all you want, but it's going to be you're going to be the one in court, and you're going to be the one with a lawsuit on your hand or getting audited by the Office of Civil Rights for noncompliance because private information now was accessed. And it can happen a thousand ways. It could not even happen from getting email hacked or virus. How about this? How many times in business, if you have a business for X amount of years, will you potentially have an upset employee, upset customer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
An upset customer can just go and complain about you to any Better Business Bureau or Office of Civil Rights and say, hey, I think my information is out there. That's all they have to do. And now someone's going to come knocking on your door.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to ask you, let me see your policies and procedures. Let me see your written information security policy, a WISP. Let me see your BYOD policy. Let me see, you know, compliance and audit tests that shows that you guys are adhering to this and checking this and trying to maintain this on a consistent basis.
Yep.
So that kind of is how you break it down.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's a certain part of this that is, you know, basically it's a brave new world. It's scary as hell, but, you know, it's the new world. We have to be able to live within this, you know.
Well, I just want to say that it's going to get even scarier, and I'm not trying to make it more, I'm trying to be a conspiracy theorist or a negative person. I'm actually really an optimistic person,
mm-hmm.
but this is the business I live in, and I see it every day. And with all of the things that are changing and how this the world is changing, just because things are kind of lax right now, because people are trying to figure out how things are going to be going forward, that doesn't mean let this election happen and all this craziness is going to go happen, whatever's going to happen. And then the government's going to get back to what they do and going down people's throats and getting, they make money off of our inability to be educated on what business owners need to do with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the government makes money off of us, and they don't want us to know. So soon enough, with all this telehealth, with all this remote work, everybody's going to have some kind of compliance issue soon enough.
Yeah. And it's the bottom line is this is A, something everybody needs to be aware of, B, something that people need to pay more attention to, and C, something that they're going to have to integrate into every business. And Michael, I want to thank you for scaring the crap out of me and scaring the crap out of my audience. You dropped, seriously, some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs and some wisdom on my peep. So if people wanted to get a hold of you and learn more, you know, or maybe even get a copy of a, you know, sample BYOD policy, how do they get a hold of you?
They just can email me at Michael, MICHAEL at everactive.net. Or, you know, I'm happy to give out my cell phone, which is, they could always call me at 847-999-1499 and, you know, leave a message. If I don't answer, I'll get back to you right away.
Well, dude, I got to tell you, man, this was, you know, I think it's important. I really do. I think that people need to be thinking about it. The companies I work with, I'm not sure. I've never asked them about their policies, but I certainly am going to send an email out to all of my customers and say, you need to listen to this. So you provided some great information, man. I appreciate it so much. And I look forward to having you back on, you know, a little later to find out how things have evolved. So, man, thanks for your time.
I just want to thank you as well, sir. You're doing a wonderful thing here, and only good things come from spreading good knowledge. So I appreciate you even more so. So thank you.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.